It's up? Okay. Let's get started, even though it doesn't sound like the microphone's on, but there it is, now it's on. And we're running a little bit late. I've been asked, in case somebody leaves early, who intends to come tomorrow, there have been so many more people than we anticipated who are staying for the second day, that the second day will happen here, not at OLPC's headquarters. And then we are expecting attrition on the third day, and then it'll probably fit back at OLPC headquarters. So if you come tomorrow, it starts at 9, and there's breakfast in advance. So if you come as early as, I guess, 8 or 8:15, you'll find breakfast. But the meeting will be in this room, which is a little disappointing because it's not quite as interactive as you would like. But the demand has forced us to use this room tomorrow. Okay, so the first speaker is, in fact, I've known everybody on this list for so long, it's embarrassing. Gloriana and I were founders of the Media Lab. You were there at the very early days, and Gloriana is a very accomplished documentary filmmaker who did some of the early work on nonlinear editing. So when you people use Avid type editing devices, she did that work 20 years ago. But also represents the kind of person who did new content at a time that we were inventing technology and has been helping with one laptop per child. And so it's all yours.
Okay. So my group is Media Fabrics, and I was asked a couple of times, what do I mean by Media Fabrics? We have media all around us today, and the important thing is to be able to have a conversation with media. The old way was to have an artifact. The new way is to have a conversation. And the OLPC laptops, but all laptops today really, incorporate at least a camera, some sound recording. And what I wanted to do was to think a little bit with you as you're implementing, let's say, a program for a large country rollout of a large number of laptops for children. What is the impact of having all these different media in the box, as it were? And I thought the best way for me to do that, we're all different in this, was to talk a little bit first about imaging, which is what I do. I take pictures. And what are some of the different things images do for us as makers, media makers, and as communicators and receivers of media? And then go through something that goes from a very young child learning to a little bit older children learning to a little bit older than that children learning. So one of the things that photographs do is they help you know about yourself. You take an image of yourself. It's something we didn't really have 100 years ago as a young child. And you're sort of learning about yourself. And then you take an image of your environment or of somebody else, like a parent, and you're thinking about the other. And so you're sort of learning about that there's both myself and something else bigger than that around me. As I observe the world, I'm also making a reflection, and I can frame it and make it artistic. In a still picture, you have to be at the right place at the right time. If you're at the wrong place but the right time, you don't get the picture. And I'll show you actually a very funny incident of that. In motion picture, we learn about action and progression. And in sequence, we learn about how to compress time. So we're learning a lot about time. We're learning how to compress time to tell a story. And finally, in history, we start to try to articulate point of view. Now, in schools or in just general learning, children go through lots of stages that involve proficiency in these different levels. This is a 3-year-old.
I can color first.
You're going to color first?
Yes.
And what you can see is she hasn't quite memorized. She's opened the laptop many times.
Uh-oh.
And
She loves the laptop because she owns it. It's hers. It's not really hers, but it's like her parents' laptop. And one of the first things she learned was how to put her name into the laptop with the letters. This is a complex process where she has to start to get pattern recognition between a letter as it appears on the keyboard, a location on the keyboard, and something that means a sound to her. And what we have learned from recent research, and longer research, is that that sort of pattern recognition is developed between 2 and 7. Now she's taking a picture.
And that is you.
Okay, click. Click, Martina, click.
She's learning click. To click.
There you go.
Now can we take a picture of you?
She's learning to repeat.
Ha ha. Okay.
And then what can she do?
Can you take a picture of your mom?
She can combine the text with the picture and paste the picture into the text. And so,
ready? There you go. Here's the picture of Martina. Okay, then we copy. See,
copy.
It says copy.
So she's also learning a new piece of vocabulary.
Uh-oh.
And she's learning a new action that makes the laptop more her own. So this is a funny story. When I was in Cambodia, I ran a workshop. Cambodia, this is a school, the Nicholas and Elaine Negroponte School in Rixme. It's about 4.5 hours from Phnom Penh. At the time I was there, they had mostly tough books, Panasonic laptops that sat on desks. And I just brought the first 5 or so OLPC machines. But we weren't using them for this workshop because Scratch didn't run on them yet. So in the first picture, we've gone up to the road with cameras, and this is with about fourth graders. And they see a OX card, and they think that would make a good picture because I'm trying to, they've been using mostly Western images in their Scratch projects, and I was trying to suggest to them they could use local images and learn about the local place. And at a certain point, the driver looks up, and the OX cart moves on. And the kids look at each other like that. Then all of a sudden, all of them take off down the road all at once in order to get a picture like that, which was something that they could then manipulate and make an object for Scratch. So in that moment, they sort of learned that a picture has a position, the camera has a position in space. It needs to have point of view. And there's a temporal aspect, events go by. At the same time that I was doing this, most of the Scratch projects, kids were using, they were using dialogue boxes, but all the dialogue boxes came up at the same time and stayed on the screen. They had, again, no sense of the temporal passage in an animation or a story. Okay. Sorry, Mitch should have spoken before me. Mitch is the author of Scratch. Scratch is a sort of an animation program that allows you to build environments. You can use backgrounds that you can take from the internet, or you can take of a new picture that you made. You can make objects, partial objects, give objects behaviors, and so you can create a storyline. And don't know how my time is doing, but when we got to Rixme and started to work with these kids.
Ben? Okay, water jar, but what?
They're mixing English and.
Cow fucking Ben. Okay, yeah, the cow
Cam
water jar. Okay. It's possible. Hello, me, Paka. Kata.
I'm thirsty.
I'm thirsty.
I'm thirsty.
I'm thirsty.
So So what the teacher is doing is allowing the kid, having the kids imagine what they want to build and imagine a sort of a dialogue that might go on in their animation before they sit down and do phase two of the animation, where they will then program in little dialogue boxes or actually record sounds and voices to create their story. So I just have a little bit, maybe actually Mitch will be showing this more. So they're able to take backgrounds, and as they're doing that, they're thinking a little bit about their environment, and what would one would hope comes out of that thinking is the ability to think about how to solve problems in their environment and what they would like to do for a next project, or how they might better something. Okay, and of course then the laptops came in and, as has been mentioned earlier, changed the layout totally of the school. And this was later material shot by Jason Rosette. And one of the things that was very interesting as more laptops came in was there was much more dialogue between students, and it's not as structured a learning environment. So it's taken a step toward peer-to-peer learning, which I think is one of the big other important things about bringing lots of laptops, one laptop per child concept in. So as I mentioned, this idea of being a media maker gives you a sense of self, it gives you a confidence, it gives you a sense of exploring civic context. It also can be a tool for documenting science experimentation. And I just wanted to mention briefly a very old project in Thailand where I was worked with a group of girls who were at risk for prostitution, and they were young girls who were put together in this living house, and we ran a photography workshop where the first thing they did was take pictures of each other and sort of build out portraits. And then they looked at sort of time of day, what was their life like, and groups of them built different scenes about their life. And then somebody came into the room to try to talk to them about how HIV spreads. And the room was absolutely blank. The person was holding up a book like this and showing them a picture of their body and trying to describe what was going on. And I said, well, let's wait a minute. And I asked, does anybody know anyone with HIV? Only one child in that room was brave enough to raise their hand. Or maybe only one child in the room knew, because I sort of got the suspicion and asked, were there AIDS villages? Turns out there were AIDS villages, and I said, well, I think that these children who are learning how to be media makers should go and visit the village. They went with their camera, they talked in groups, they talked to different families, they took images, and they built a website to talk about their experience of meeting with people who were very bereaved and people who were very sick. And to me, it's that sort of building your own information, sharing how you yourself are changing, and doing it in this, using this media that requires many different types of thinking while you're making it. And that's the excitement of how education is changing, and I think it's what we have to all learn to think together. How do we think about long continuums of development as opposed to just 3 weeks in grade 4 or 2 weeks in grade 2? And the children will do that because the children have a tool now that will allow them to put all this different kind of media into each of their projects.
Thank you.
You're welcome.